This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to The Fan Sports Talk here in Portland, and it was, at least for, well, we got 5 minutes of good Oregon football talk in at the start of the show.
It was
a very exciting day.
We were sports and heavy, and then right-hand turn at Albuquerque,
because Blazers owner, Seahawks owner, Microsoft co-founder, Northwest, I mean, how do you even describe him and what he means in the Northwest?
Icon.
Yeah, icon is a good word. Paul Allen has passed away at the age of 65. So we last hour, if you're just tuning in, we talked to Jason Quick and Mike Barrett, and all four of us just really sort of speechless and stunned. I mean, I know he released a statement a couple of weeks ago saying he was battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma again, but he just didn't go there yet, right?
No,
you know,
I mean,
you just didn't think this.
Quick even said that, you know, when he started working for The Athletic, they said to him, like, hey, should we start working on an obituary? And Quick said he reached out to some Blazer folks, and they were like, no, that's a long way off. And I think that's one of the real stunning parts about this is, you know, he released that statement a little over 2 weeks ago. We all assumed that this was going to be, I mean, he's beat it once. He's beat cancer twice before. He's 65, right? Obviously, in what we thought in decent health and all the resources in the world, everyone thought this was going to be a long, drawn-out battle. So to hear this news, you know, that 2 weeks later that he's passed away, it'll be interesting to see as this goes on, and I'm sure more information will come out. Was he indeed sicker than anyone thought? Had he been sicker for a much longer time than anyone thought in the announcement just made? Or was this something that caught everyone, including him and his doctors and his family, off guard? But it seems right now from everyone we're talking to that this was just beyond stunning and kind of out of right field.
Yeah, so you can text the Better You Today text line at 55305. You know, I'm trying to avoid, you know,
what happens now.
Yeah, you know,
but there's a lot of those in because as someone said, for most people, that's their connection to him is through that team.
And that's what I'm trying to keep it that way, at least on our show. I mean, his impact goes, I mean, just light years beyond the Trailblazers.
Sure.
But, you know, being the, you know, that's the realm through which, the lens through which we covered him and know him. I know him personally, but he was a very private man. But
how
just
we dealt with him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's kind of why people tune in to a station like this. And so we're trying to keep it somewhat through that lens. It's hard to do because he had so many different interests and he was such a just an influential man in a lot of different respects.
A world figure.
I just tweeted something that I just, this is the best way that I can, you know, Twitter's funny because when you get ready to type out a tweet, you have to make it succinct.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas you and I sit here for 4 hours and we can kind of formulate our thoughts and stumble around and then finally get to that one line. It's like, hey, you know what? That's what I wanted to say. And I galvanized it by saying this, and it is this. I think criticism is part of owning a sports franchise. It's going to happen. Okay. But even with warranted criticisms of Paul Allen over the years, the underlying theme was always that Portland is supremely lucky to have him. That's what I just tweeted. And that's what, you know, I was critical of him. And I think there were some times when criticism was warranted. That's what we do. You have to look at this and say, hey, why aren't the Blazers getting where they want to go? Well, maybe Paul Allen is a factor. And so you talk about those things over the years. But I'm not just saying this just because he is now gone. This was always the case that no matter what the criticism was of him with regards to how he handled the team, or he was always known as a meddler and that was a problem, or this or that, or thin-skinned, or firing guys right and left, no matter what it was, Portland was so lucky to have a guy like him because he was so passionate, really loved the team and the game. He wanted to win, had the deepest pockets in the league, and he would do whatever it took to do that. So all of the other stuff didn't really matter when it came to the Trailblazers. What mattered is you had that guy. And this is what I was to bring it full circle. I'm reading a lot of texts, and a lot of people, I get where people's minds go with this. Let's wait and let's see if we can get some information. What happens to the team? Yeah. I don't know. No one ever, and Barrett came on. He was close to the guy and close to the situation. Nobody ever knew Paul Allen's thoughts on what might happen to the team upon his death.
But I'm sure when you're facing cancer for the third time, you know, and a man of obviously those kind of resources, something is written down in writing, I'm sure. I mean, there has to be some sort of plan. The always held belief was that Jody, the sister, would take over, and or, you know, the Vulcans just in general, right? Who was it? We just you know, here locally, that got promoted to the head of Vulcan
Chris
Sports,
McGowan,
Chris
yeah.
McGowan. Right. So is this something where he has it in his will, where the Vulcans continue as a, you know, a branch of his company still left behind after he's gone? Does Jody want to sell the team? There's a million different ways that this thing could play out, but no one knows at this point. It's pure speculation. But I do think that that's what causes people to be nervous, is people do realize that without Paul Allen, the Blazers have probably moved twice, mm-hmm. whether, you know, before the Rose Garden was built, and then back in the early 2000s, remember when it was a Global Spectrum that came in and took over, and there was the bankruptcy, that the Blazers probably leave at that point too, if it's not for Paul Allen. So I think that has always been the fear of Paul's the one thing that has kept this team here. And once he goes, oh my God, what happens now? And that should tell you the sort of special owner and the place he held, that fear was always there, and people realized that despite some of the criticism that he got.
Yeah, so we'll see if some information comes out on that. I mean, I would suspect that
At some point
they'll talk about plans and what he dictated would happen with the team.
But I would tell people to one, there's things more important than that today. You know, this is, you know, a man, a very important man that was loved by many and did a lot of good things for this world, has passed away. And so, you know, hopefully people allow an appropriate time to mourn. But also, I would caution people into the fear mongering thing, because, you know, there's going to be some people that are beating that drum. This team isn't moving tomorrow. Okay, this is not the end of the Portland Trailblazers. The season will go on with a heavy heart, but will go on as planned. And nothing on a day-to-day basis in the way the team is operated and what you see, I think, is going to be any sort of radical shift here. And so that's what I would ask of people, is to be patient, allow people to properly mourn him and pay him that respect, and to just take a deep breath. And it's not going to be the end of the world here, and that your team is going to get ripped out from under you, you know, within the next 2 or 3 months, simply because this man has tragically passed away.
Bigger picture, though, if you don't know, Paul Allen, this was like 7 or 8 years ago. He agreed to donate pretty much, I think it was like something in the neighborhood of $15 billion
sum of his money.
Yeah, $15 billion of his estate to charity. As a lot of guys who have that many billions.
Gates is doing that too. And
as a lot of guys who have that many billions do. But he also, the Family Foundation, the Paul G. Allen Family Foundation, that thing has donated, I mean, so much money over the years, handed out so much in funding and grants, that just sitting here talking through the lens of just the little old sports franchise that he owned that was fun for him in Portland, just really doesn't do justice to, you know, sort of, even though he was passionate about it, how little that was in his, you know, portfolio of the things that he loved and the things that he did and the good that he did in the world. I mean, this was just a little play toy for a guy like him. And it was a big deal to him. It was a big deal to fans. I'm just saying, I do think we need, at least today, some perspective on the man's reach in general in the world.
Yeah, technology, outside innovation, of the Microsoft, charity, all of those things, the philanthropy. You're 100% right there.
All right, so let's come back. Do we want to do stock watch? Are you a stock watcher, Jason?
Yeah,
are
let's,
you,
we'll stock watch.
We're gonna stock watch.
Maybe
all right,
it'll give you a chance to break it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's keep it on schedule. So it is Monday and it is almost 4:15. That means stock watch. We're buying and selling from the weekend in sports, and it's coming up next on 1080 The Fan.
Can Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we are discussing the death of Trailblazers owner Paul Allen. Mike Barrett joined us. Jason Quick joined us. We are out to a couple of other guests that we'll be lining up hopefully here soon. Paul Allen was 65 years old and passes away of complications due to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that he announced just a couple weeks ago he was fighting. But it sounds like most everyone, including people in the know in the organization, are stunned that today we discuss this topic.
Yeah, so no one knows at this point, was he sicker than was let on? Had he been battling this for a longer period of time, or was just this one of those things that took a really drastic turn in a very short period of time?
So we have a couple people who hopefully, will be coming on here shortly to discuss more of Paul Allen, his legacy here as owner of the Blazers and his legacy overall. But we thought this segment, maybe we have a slight return to normal.
Break it up a little bit, maybe.
It's time for our stock watch. And we're in a weird studio today.
Yeah, are we going to be here all week?
I don't know. They say a week, which means four.
Yeah, probably. They say a week, which means it's probably going to be three or four.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're actually updating the 1080 The Fan studios.
For the first time in, I'm assuming, 29 years
ever?
Oh, I think longer than that. As a matter of fact, I think when it's done, we'll be probably up to 1990 speed.
Fingers crossed. Well, I think we're eliminating the tape decks at least.
Yes.
Because I kid you not, those are still in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Mini disc players.
Absolutely.
It's great. So they're going to do that. And while they do that, we're over. You know, whenever you come into a radio, radio stations, we're a group, we're a cluster, we have six stations. Yep. You basically just walk through, and in the smallest amount of space that you can dream, they have stuffed 800 different studios.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't even know who, like, nobody ever uses them, who uses them, what station is that. It's just a microphone and a generic studio. And we have those here. And this one is one that I have spent so little time in over the years. Like, zero time in here.
Well, dirt and spray.
Almost forget that it even exists, and here we are doing our show in it.
Yeah, occasionally we'll tape something in here, but Dirt and Sprague were saying that they've been here 5-6 years. They had no idea that this was an actual studio.
They've never opened this door.
No. I've been in here a time or two. Daria used to use this, and so sometimes Daria and Mitch were over on The Buzz. They would have me in and would do, like, little sports bits when they would be big. Like, today, for example, they would have brought me in and we would have talked about Paul Allen. It was always in here. And so whenever I come in here, I smell Daria. She had a a strong perfumey scent about her, if you will. That's what I think of this tiny closet that we're in.
So let's do a stock watch. Our In the News will be dedicated to the late Paul Allen. That will be in our next segment. But right now, here's Mike.
The Pac-12 playoff hopes are on life support, and that's being kind right now. Look, Washington has two losses. Stanford has two losses. As you mentioned, Colorado is losing to USC. The Pac-12 is guaranteed to have at least a one-loss conference champion. And when you look at Oregon, which has just one loss, their non-conference strength of schedule could keep them out of the college football playoff because it is the worst in the FBS. According to ESPN's FPI.
That is Heather Dinich right there, ESPN, on the Pac-12 college football playoff hopes. Buy or sell, if Oregon wins out, they will make the college football playoff.
No, I don't think they will. I think they can be in the conversation, but they're going to need help. And certainly the chaos that happened over the weekend helps. You need more teams to lose. But yes, I do think the fact that the Pac-12 is not very well thought of, and you're not going to have a bunch of teams that are ranked, your non-conference schedule was the worst of the Power Five, that those are going to be dings. And plus, I think that Stanford loss is going to look bad because I don't think Stanford's going to end up with a great record. So there's so far to go in this whole thing. If Oregon wins out and wins the Pac-12, when you're a one-loss conference champ, you give yourself a shot. But I think you would need a ton of help in order to get in as a one-loss conference champion in the Pac-12. So I will sell this. I do not think that Oregon gets in.
Four road games left. Yeah. Washington State,
well, in Utah,
Arizona, Utah, and Oregon State.
And no offense to Arizona and Oregon State, but look, it's...
Well, they should win those games.
You should win those games. But Washington State and Utah, the way Utah is playing right now, those appear to be the big ones that would give you pause.
No, I would... let's see. If Oregon wins out, they will make... sell. They will not. I don't think they're going to make the college football playoff. But I think a lot of Duck fans at the start of the season were just kind of going, hey... Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
You get to the Rose... If I told you at the start of the year you could maybe get to the Rose Bowl, you that's the pinnacle of your season, you'd be like, oh, hell yeah. And that's obviously in play now because of the win over Washington, but I don't think the Pac-12 is going to get into the playoff. You need a lot of teams to lose. You need to start rooting for a lot of these undefeated and one-loss teams to go down, but like you said, this last weekend, 8 of the top 25 lost, and three undefeated teams lost, so that does help, but you need a lot more of that.
You need to root for, like, Oklahoma-Texas to lose again. You need to root for Notre Dame to certainly get a loss. You need some more upsets.
You see Melvin Gordon being used in a multitude of ways by the Los Angeles Chargers, and when they get going, and I know Jeff preaches this every week about every team who finds offensive success, it starts with your running back. But having a guy who's so multiple, a guy that you can use in different ways and presents the home run threat, you have to start looking at Melvin Gordon as one of the top guys. I mean, you have the discussions about Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. We're going to have to start putting Melvin Gordon in that discussion, one, because of his production, but two, because of the way you have to enter a game schematically to stop it.
ESPN's Ryan Clark says that Chargers running back Melvin Gordon should be considered among the game's best. Buy or sell, Melvin Gordon is a top three running back in the game right now.
I think he's on the doorstep there, but no, I don't think he's a top three back right now. I mean, I'll still put Le'Veon Bell. I know he's not playing. I think you look at what Todd Gurley's doing. That to me is 1-2. And then you have a bevy of other guys, whether you want to go with Kamara, whether you want to go with Ezekiel Elliott, if you want to throw in Kareem Hunt. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that enter in that conversation, and Melvin Gordon is right there. But I would stop just short of saying that he is one of the top three backs, but he certainly is in that conversation.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. There are a lot of good backs. You didn't mention Kareem Hunt either, did you?
Yeah,
did you mention him?
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah. So, and Barkley.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
But I would go Bell 1, Gurley 2, Elliott 3.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. But Gordon's right there.
A lot of quality backs.
If you have shorter deals, obviously the guys are going to become free agents sooner than they otherwise would. And I think ultimately it's led to better play on the floor. But, you know, and at the same time, you're going to have fans who are disappointed when players leave, but then conversely, you're going to have other markets, other fans who are excited by the balance of a guy leaving it and being excited about being in a new market. So I think we have a pretty good balance right now of guys staying with their teams, but also, you know, at the appropriate time, moving on.
There is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the balance between players staying with their teams and leaving for, quote, greener pastures. Buy or sell, what Silver says, there is a good balance in the NBA right now.
No, far from it. There's not a good balance in
the
NBA.
Can I get a clarification, please? What is he saying is balanced?
That some players are staying with their teams while others decide to leave.
No. He says there's a good balance. That balance.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a good balance. The NBA...
too many players leaving?
Well, and unfortunately, for what Golden State has done, it casts an enormous cloud over it. And I don't think it's good for the NBA when players are forcing their way out. And that's essentially what you're having here. To me, it's one thing if you have people that are just waiting for their contract to play out and you move on after that. But you don't. You have players forcing their way out of cities, trying to force their way into certain situations. And it's not small market teams. I do feel that there is some hopelessness on the part of some small market teams. And so, no, to me, when three quarters of the NBA doesn't really feel like they can compete and there's not a good way for them to get there, no, that's not healthy balance.
I, too, sell that when you've got guys who are turning down, I mean, like a lot more money to go somewhere else. Some of these things they put in the CBA were designed to try to keep players more stationary,
not
and
working.
They're not working.
No.
So, the NBA offseason, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, because the NBA offseason and players, especially elite players shifting teams, is exciting for the league. You know, when guys team up and it's like, oh, man, wow. So it kind of adds an element that you like, but at the same time, if he's saying it's balanced and there's good on both sides, I don't think so. I think too many guys are bouncing around, and it would be nicer to see teams be able to hold on to guys and star players more frequently.
It's a 27 out. Use all the ones that you can. Being a tough team to put away is a great characteristic, and we showed again why, you know, tack on runs are really important. It doesn't make it more comfortable necessarily. I mean, it's a five run lead. Felt good. It got Osuna out of the game, got McHugh into the game. A lot of advantages moving forward, but we can be pretty explosive.
Somebody hung up something somewhere. AJ hints there on the Astros' explosive offense. Both LCS series are tied at one game apiece. So, buy or sell, the Astros have looked the most World Series ready in the four games we've seen so far.
You make a strong argument, but... Yeah, you know, I think outside of and even Milwaukee, I just think their starting pitching is such a big giant question mark, especially as you get deeper into the series. But you know, the Red Sox have found a bullpen all of a sudden. I mean, that was viewed as really shaky. We've seen the Dodgers come back and play well, and at the end of game one, and easily could have won that after being in a big hole and not getting a great outing. With some sloppy play and Kershaw not pitching particularly well, but bounce back. So I don't think that there's a ton of weaknesses that have been exposed thus far. But, you know, going in, everyone thought Houston was the most complete team. And so maybe there's just an element of that they were the most complete team in the regular season. And maybe that has carried over into the postseason.
Well, watching the games, just watching how the teams are playing, even though both series are even, I would say that the Brewers have played a lot better than the Dodgers. The Dodgers are pretty fortunate to be tied in that series. And the Astros look like they've played better than the Red Sox, even though that series is tied. So I would say that the Astros have looked the most World Series ready. I think the Brewers look awfully tough. But at the same time, they have more holes than the Astros do. So I would buy that. The Primetime Stock Watch each week is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE, Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. Someone who knew Paul Allen well and worked for Paul Allen for many years here in town will join us next on a very special edition of In the News. If you're just tuning in, Paul Allen passes away from complications of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was 65. We'll be right back. Here is Mike with SportsCenter.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:36 on The Fan with Isaac and Suk. Paul Allen has passed away at the age of 65. Shocking news today. Even though we knew he was battling cancer, that was just a couple of weeks ago he announced that. So I think most are stunned by this news. We do have two news statements. We read you Jody Allen, his sister's statement earlier. Here is a statement from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, who said, Paul Allen was the ultimate trailblazer in business, philanthropy, and in sports. As one of the longest tenured owners in the NBA, Paul brought a sense of discovery and vision to every league matter, large and small. Also, Roger Goodell of the NFL said his passion for the game combined with his quiet determination led to a model organization on and off the field. Our league is better for having Paul Allen be a part of it. So it is October... Oh my gosh, it's already October 15th.
You are correct, sir.
Monday, October 15th, 2018. It is time for a very special In the News, as your noted newsman here. I want to bring on a guest. This is going to be a...
I don't think we've ever had that in the news.
No, this is the first. He is... he might be a one-off, like one and done.
The only time?
I mean, I'm not big on guests on In the News. This is about me.
Well, the people need their news.
My
from
breaking
their,
news.
Yes, from their noted newsman.
My research, my homework, my journalism. But this guy, now, interesting perspective on Paul Allen. Let's bring on Brian Berger, who is a friend of mine, but also host of Sports Business Radio. He hosted local sports radio here in the market for several years and worked for the Portland Trailblazers. Brian, thanks for coming on short notice. What years were you with the team?
I was with the team from 19... 1992 to 1998.
Okay, so what, I mean, did this shock you as much as it shocked everyone else? I mean, I think everyone's just kind of trying to wrap their head around this today.
Well, obviously, Paul announced that his cancer had returned 2 weeks ago. I don't think anyone expected his death to come this quickly, but this is something that's been discussed for years since he got sick the first time. A plan has been in place for a day like today, unfortunately.
Yeah, and a lot of people are asking that, and I'm just going to go right there. Do you have any insight on what happens to the Trailblazers specifically now that Paul Allen has passed?
Well, so they're on his estate. And now what will happen is the NBA and the NFL have vetted potential owners if this were to happen, and it's now happened. And my guess would be the estate will work with the NBA and the NFL to identify a short list of owners, and then the bidding process will begin.
So what, for those people that are worried that maybe all bets are off now and the Trailblazers could leave Portland, is that a scenario that you see?
I just tweeted out that I think there's less than a 1% chance of that. You could argue that there's less of a chance of the Blazers moving to Seattle or anywhere else after this happened, because obviously Paul was from Seattle. So people said, oh, he's going to move him to Seattle one day, especially when the lease is up on the Rose Garden or the Moda Center. But I just don't see that happening. I don't think the NBA or the NFL want to move either the Blazers or the Seahawks out of their markets with the passionate fan bases they have.
Well, and especially after what happened in Seattle, wouldn't it just be absolutely awful optics to pull a team out of Portland to go put one back in Seattle 3 hours away?
Yeah, I agree. And I think both leagues have been prepared for this day. They didn't think it would come this soon, but this is not a surprise to either the NFL or the NBA. And again, I think they have things in order to proceed accordingly. And from everyone I've spoken to, and this dates back years ago, Jody Allen, who is Paul's sister, has never had an interest in the Blazers or the Seahawks. She doesn't want to own either team, so it's been a foregone conclusion that she would sell when Paul died.
What was it like working there, Brian, under Paul Allen?
You know, I was there at a really great time. My first day on the job, the Blazers were heading to the NBA Finals to play Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in 1992. It was before the Bob Whitsitt era. Paul had just bought the team in 1988, so there was still a lot of excitement. But the one thing I'll say, and I talked about this earlier, people don't realize how close the Blazers were to moving from Portland in the early 90s when the Blazers had sold out Memorial Coliseum for, I think, 18 years in a row. They needed a new arena that had suites and modern amenities. They couldn't get a deal done with the city. And I remember Marshall Glickman, the president of the Blazers, walking into the offices talking about potential cities where we could be moving if we couldn't get a deal done. So if it weren't for Paul Allen putting so much of his own money and skin in the game to keep the Blazers in Portland, they wouldn't be here today.
Why did he do that?
I think he was just a big NBA fan. I think he saw that he wasn't going to be able to buy the Sonics, and he was passionate about the Blazers and wanted to keep them here. So I think his heart was in the right place. That's my takeaway for why he wanted to keep him there.
Yeah, because it's a lot of people say, well, you could still own the team, but move him, you know, somewhere else that's a bigger market, and he didn't. He kept him here in Portland. I don't know if that's because of the proximity to Seattle, but you're right. It was never really, you know, much of an option for him. Even after the bankruptcy issue here and losing the arena, he still kept it here. He could have lost him a second time there.
Right. In the city that was talked about before we got a deal done for the Rose Garden was San Diego. So a lot of us thought we were moving the Blazers to San Diego if we couldn't get a deal done here. And he stepped in and said, I'll do whatever it takes to keep the team here. He mostly privately financed the construction of the arena, which at that time was unheard of. Most arenas and stadiums were being financed with public money. So he really was a Trailblazer in a lot of ways.
So, Brian, I want people to give Brian a follow on Twitter at SB Radio, Sports Business Radio. A lot of good sports business content on there. And I know you'll be on KGW tonight talking about Paul Allen. But I noticed on here you put up a keepsake. You had a letter that he sent to you. What is that?
So, here we have in the Rose Garden Arena, which is at the Moda Center. Paul gave everyone on staff that letter and just thanked us for opening the facility. You know, the one thing I want to say is most sports fans know Paul Allen is the owner of the Blazers and the Seahawks. This is a guy who had such innovative and diverse interests, whether it was space and sea exploration, the Brain Institute that he started that may one day find a cure to something like Parkinson's. He was such a well-rounded person, and I think that's where his real legacy is, that he contributed to a lot of different things, not just sports.
Berger, thanks for checking in, man. We appreciate you.
Take care, you guys.
Okay, that's Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio. Worked for Paul Allen for, what did he say, 6 years, 92 to 98?
Yeah, and it was interesting that he talked about it. I know there's so much, you know, more stuff going on, but so many people have asked the question, what happens now? And I think he laid out a pretty good view on yeah. what does happen now.
And that is a guy who is in touch with a lot of the higher ups in these leagues.
He
knows, and that's good. I think that's pretty reassuring, is it not, for those wondering that today?
If you were panicked about that, you know, there's a guy again that's in the know that says in no way does this take anyone by surprise, that the teams will be sold, that's been the plan all along, that the NFL and the NBA would have people lined up for the bidding process. But I think that should lead you to believe that this is going to be in good hands and your team isn't going anywhere.
All right, we're
going to
get the Seattle perspective on Paul Allen coming up a little bit later. Up next on In the News, yet another interesting nugget about the late Paul Allen. Unfortunately, if you're just tuning in, he passed away at the age of 65. This is In the News with Isaac and Suk on The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is In the News, Paul Allen edition, as he has died. Shocking everyone today, 65 years old. I was just looking at a timeline of his life on CNN. You know, well, you may or may not have known.
But yeah, this is national news. I mean, this is so much bigger than just, you know, us here in Portland in sports.
But just some of the other things, we've been talking a lot about the Blazers, but... did you know he dropped out of Washington State?
I did know that he dropped out of Washington State.
Yeah, so then he goes and takes a job at Honeywell in Boston. And then that was in 74. And then he goes and he meets Bill Gates.
And a partnership.
And they founded a little company. Do you remember the name of that company that they founded?
I don't. I remember because I read the book after you were raving about it, but that was a while ago.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
But it's a partnership that would go on and change the world.
Absolutely. Microsoft. And then... in 77, he signs the partnership agreement, and he talks about that a lot in the book, but he only gets 36% of Microsoft.
Yeah, only.
That's all.
Yeah, that's all.
Made him very rich, but not as rich as Bill Gates.
No. Do you think Paul ever regretted that he was only worth $17 billion and Bill Gates is worth $90 whatever?
I don't know if you can regret that, but that was a decision that...
Yeah, can you regret $17 billion?
I don't know.
That he didn't want to be... He just wanted to be the idea guy. He wasn't interested in kind of the cutthroat nature of the whole thing.
They hire Steve Ballmer in 1980.
Developers.
Yeah, developers.
Developers,
okay, Steve.
Developers,
staff to develop.
What an animal that guy is. And he now owns an NBA franchise. Yeah. But did you know that the first time he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease was different, but Hodgkin's disease was 1982. It was that long ago.
Yikes. No, I don't think I remember it being that long
ago. Yeah, and in 83, he left Microsoft, and that was part of, you know, him being sick. He left. Gates offered him $5 a share for his stake in the company. He counters with 10 a share. Gates says no, and Allen leaves the company with all of his stock.
And that goes on to turn him into what, somewhere in the... depending on the
what is he worth?
I think towards the end it was somewhere in the teens. I think it was $17-19 billion.
Is it bad that I think in my head Is that all?
Are you giving
it? I thought it was like $40 billion or something.
I'll look it up. I think at one point he was one of the 20 richest guys.
Yeah, so he splits in 83, starts Vulcan. And Vulcan, we always talk about the Vulcans and those guys that manage all of his business interests and philanthropic interests. And, of course, one part of that is the sports, a stake in the Sounders. But, of course, the Seahawks and the Blazers. He established his foundation in 1988. He bought the Seahawks in 1997.
And that's been well documented that was merely out of civic duty. He bought them because he wanted to keep them there in Seattle.
And as Berger mentioned, he bought the Blazers in 88, and they were close to going to San Diego, but he stepped up and kept them here. I mean, he's done so many different things, but how about discovering the USS Indianapolis?
Yes.
Not too long ago he did that.
No, and that was
the wreckage.
The wreckage from the Jaws.
Yep.
Where Quint's telling the story about the USS Indianapolis that went down. And by the way, he estimated at the time, when unfortunately of his passing, right around $20 billion. What would have put him
pretty
number
good.
21 on the list.
$20 billion more than me.
Yes. And he
and
is,
you.
And lifetime giving.
$20 billion more than us combined.
Yes. He has given somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 billion to charity.
Yeah, through his foundation.
Through his foundation.
I know he pledged $100 million to fight Ebola. He had a big Ebola initiative several years back. And so many other things, this man.
Oh, and he was a man with so many different interests and... You know,
as Barrett mentioned, he played a mean guitar.
He did. You know, there's a lot of YouTube videos out there, and he shredded.
Guitar is not easy,
no.
As you well know. You tried to play guitar.
I try, and I'm terrible.
Well, a lot of people, you know, they pick it up and they try it. You know, you kind of suck at it, but it's kind of fun, you know, whatever. He was really good.
Yeah, he was.
Like, it's not easy to get that good, and that dude could...
Well, he could shred. I mean, there's videos of him playing at the Rock and Roll Hall of
Love
Fame.
Love Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, and playing, you know, with famous musicians and was friends with a lot of them. You know, U2 and Bono and such. And he was a man that definitely did not get cheated out of life. He had a very interesting and I'm sure a very fulfilling and a very exciting life full of a lot of experiences.
And as a few of you are mentioning that he did in his book... basically point the finger at Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer for conspiring to, you know,
to push him out.
Yeah, to get him out of there. To dilute his shares.
Yes.
As it were. That is your In the News segment for October 15th, 2018. I'm sad to report that Blazers owner Paul Allen has passed away. He was born January 21st, 1953 in Seattle, and he was 65.
65 just seems so young in today's...
Ooh, you ain't kidding.
In today's day.
All right, when we come back, let's get to the Hot 5 and 5. There is a lot of news to update you on. We do have a big baseball game tonight, some Oregon Duck football injuries. A little bit of, a couple of Pac-12 news notes, one involving Washington State as they prepare for the Ducks.
Huge game coming up.
So we've got all of that coming up next in a tidy little segment we call the Hot 5 at 5. Stay with us. This is Isaac and Souk on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.